Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy.
The unconditional, ever-flowing, never-ending fountain of love that God is, it's only as we experience that for ourselves that we can pour it out. There's people in our community, there's people in our culture that are angry, that are dramatic, that are anxious, that are hurting, that feel lost, that feel alone. There's people that are engaging in all kinds of self-destructive activities. And I believe that God's love is the answer. I believe with all of my heart that as we begin to understand the height and the depth of the love of God, the width and the length of the love of God, it's only as we begin to understand how deeply God loves us that we can live in wholeness and health. But also, you cannot give away what you do not have. Amen. You cannot give away what you do not have. So as we pray this month, God, Father God, teach me how much you love me, and we receive that love from the Father, then we can pour it out as Love Your Neighbor Month, right? So this is multifaceted. We need to get to Scripture, but let me say this and then we'll move on. You can't give away what you do not have, but the paradox here in the kingdom of God is that you can't hold on to what you don't give. The way the kingdom of God works is as we love, as we're generous with the love of God, He pours more love into us. And so we approach God, especially this month in October, we learn something. We approach God like this. We approach God with arms stretched wide to receive His goodness into us, but also not so that we can receive it and then hold tightly to it, but so that we can receive it and then pour it out into a world that is desperately in need to experience the goodness of God that you and I have experienced. Amen? That sound good? Can you do your homework for me? All right. What if this church was full of people by the end of this month that understand that they are desperately and deeply loved by the Father? I think this church would be a different place. I think that this church would be such a different place that this community would be a different place. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Does that sound familiar to you? Jeremiah chapter 29. We are going to read verses 11 and 12 to get started this morning. We're going to look at three different passages of Scripture from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And the weeping prophet brings us some of the most beautiful promises of the coming Messiah. And that's what we're going to look at as we continue to talk about old covenant lessons that teach us new covenant truths. We're going to look at these words from the weeping prophet that shows us the deepness of the love of God to us. In Jeremiah's day, the children of Israel, the people of God of the time, are in deep rebellion against God, and they're suffering the consequences. Babylon has taken over them, and it's just a really ugly situation in Jeremiah's day, and that's why he's the weeping prophet. But I want to tell you this morning as we get ready to look into Scripture that no matter how dark the night gets, God knows how to bring the sunrise. God knows how to break the dawn. And Scripture says that God's mercies to us are new every morning. Okay? And so I am noteless preaching to you today, which is always dangerous and pointless, as it were. It doesn't have any points. That's what I mean there. But let's get started in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. So instead of praying over this message like I usually do, here's what I would like for us to do. Would you close your eyes? And would you take a deep breath in? I know some of you are weirded out by this, but I'm at the point in my ministry that I don't care. It's really nice to not have to care about that. Would you take a deep breath in and let it out? Just relax in the presence of God. And for our prayer this morning, listen to these words of God for you. This is God speaking to you. Would you take this in? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Amen. Amen. God has a future for you. God has hope for you. And maybe some of you this morning came into church and you feel a bit like Jeremiah. It feels like there's a lot of things that are going wrong around you. Maybe some of you came into this house this morning and it feels like everything is going wrong around you, that you can't get a win, that you can't get a victory, that it feels like every time that you stand up and start to feel better, something else hits you. Well, I want you to understand this morning that you are not alone, that God is with you. Scripture says that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Sometimes when we are in our darkest night, some would call it a dark night of the soul, when it feels like we are just enveloped in society or in our own sin or in the bad news of the day. Sometimes when we go through those spaces and places, we just need to know that we are not alone. And I want you to understand, firstly, this morning that God is thinking about you, that His thoughts are for you. Not just that He's thinking about you, but I want to say it this way. God's thoughts are for you and not against you, right? We learn in the New Testament that we serve a God who is for us and not against us. So no matter what you're facing this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trial or tribulation that you're facing, no matter what kind of fear or anxiety that you're up against, no matter what kind of diagnosis that you're facing for you and your family, we serve this God who is not far off from us, but has been drawn near to us through the person of Jesus Christ. You see, faith begins with thought. Faith begins with thought. And God here tells us through the prophet Jeremiah that He's thinking about us. And let me tell you this, when God is thinking about you, there is still hope. As long as you have not left the Father's mind, there is still hope for you. And when God thinks about you, the prophet says, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. They are thoughts of peace. I don't know that there is a better word besides the name Jesus in your scripture than the word peace. Peace always sounds good to me. How about you? I would much rather have peace than conflict. And the peace that the Old Testament teaches us about is shalom peace. That is peace that begins on the inside and works its way out. Later on in Scripture, it is called a peace that passes all understanding. And I know you're tired of me telling you my definition of that, but I'm going to tell it to you anyways this morning on this first day of October. This peace that passes all understanding is that when you are experiencing peace, when you probably shouldn't have peace. Peace that passes all understanding means that my situation hasn't changed, that my troubles and my problems and my issues are still all around me, but greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And so our precious friend Dean fell this week, and I went over to see him at the hospital. Then I went to their home and visited with Virginia. And the first thing that Virginia McCray said to me, with her husband, her 90-year-old husband in the hospital with a broken hip, she looked me in the eyes and she said, "I have peace that passes understanding." How can she have that peace when there's uncertainty and unknown all around her? Because God's thinking about Virginia. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Because God's thinking about Virginia. And God knows the thoughts that He has for her. And God knows the thoughts that He has for you. Even in the midst of your trouble and pain, God knows the thoughts that He has for you, not of evil, but of peace. So what do we do in the midst of evil? What do we do in Jeremiah's day when it seems like everything, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, as it were? What do we do when nothing's going right and our best laid plans come to nothing and come to naught? And there's things that we had wished worked out differently, but it doesn't seem like good is ever going to come back to our life. Let me tell you that in the midst of your trial and trouble, God is thinking about you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future, amen, and a hope. What is Christian hope? It's not wishful thinking. It's confident expectation of good. And maybe this is why I'm preaching this morning. So listen to me carefully here. If Christian hope is the confident expectation of good, I want to encourage you this morning that you can live in that confident expectation. I want to encourage you this morning that no matter what thoughts that you are having, no matter what thoughts you are thinking, no matter what lies you are hearing in your own head, that God has good for your future. As the mercies of God are new every morning, so you can take hope that the sun came up today. My dad would say it like this: if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, we can all know that we're in big trouble. But every morning that the sun rises, we can know that God's thoughts towards us are good and not evil. Peaceful thoughts to give us hope, confident expectation of good and a future. And some of you, listen, some of you have begun to settle for the lies that the enemy has spoken in your own head, in your own voice. Some of you have fallen for the lies that it's never going to get any better, that it's always going to be this way, that I'm going to have to struggle with this for my whole life. And that is not the truth that God thinks about you. Amen. God's thoughts towards you are peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And the beautiful thing is that when we begin to experience the good thoughts of God towards us, that then we can begin to seek Him. That when we seek Him, when we call upon Him, He listens to us. When we seek Him, we find Him. So we're going to give you space. We're going to give you opportunity at the end of this service to open up the eyes of your understanding to see and experience the goodness of God in your life. We're going to pray our prayer for the month this morning. Father God, teach me how much you love me. Amen. I'm going to turn a couple pages over to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. It's just one page different from mine. I don't know what it is for yours, but you're getting there. God is thinking thoughts towards us. Let's look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. If we can tie these thoughts of Jeremiah together, and I think that we can, because every promise of God is yes and amen to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we can draw this promise that God has thoughts towards us, and we can bring it into this context of the love of God, in Jeremiah 31, we can understand and know that God's love for us is an everlasting love. That it's not contingent on our circumstances. It's not contingent on our reaction to His love, but God loves us with an everlasting love. So, I love this, and I hope that you love it too. In Jeremiah 31:3, the prophet says, the Lord has appeared of old to me. And that is not a great translation for our minds. Maybe what would help us is when we look up, when we dig into the root of the Hebrew word that Jeremiah uses here, he says, the Lord has appeared afar off to me. That Jeremiah heard this about this love of God from a distance. But we're not just talking in this series about old covenant promises. We're talking about old covenant promises that come to fruition in the New Testament. So where Jeremiah heard of the love of God from afar off, we have witnessed the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ, who has come near to us. Amen. And you are not near as excited about that as I am. Where Jeremiah could only hear of this covenant love of God from afar off, you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can open our arms of surrender and experience this love of God on a daily basis. Jeremiah could only hear from afar off through the cross, through the resurrection of Jesus. You and I can live in this covenant love of God. It was far off, but it has been drawn near to us through Jesus Christ. Jeremiah says at the end of verse 3, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. So he said, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And then he uses this word loving kindness. This is a Hebrew word that invokes covenant. That God's love is not just the ooey gooeys. It's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It is a covenant promise to us. It's a love, as the songwriter said, that will not let you go. Amen. It's a love that will not let you go. It's a love that is unshakable. And we live in a culture where someone might say, I love you, and then they'll stab you in the back the next day. Or someone might say to you, I used to love you, but I don't love you anymore. And these are words that will never come out of your Father in heaven's mouth, because His love is a covenant love. Because He doesn't love you for what you can give to Him or what you can bring to the table. God loves you because God is love. Amen. And it's a covenantal love. It's a love that will not let you go. It's a love that thinks about you. Yeah. It's a love that thinks peace about you. It's a love that thinks a future about you. It's a love that thinks a hope about you. This loving kindness that draws us, Jeremiah says, is a covenant love. When God makes a covenant, sometimes He makes a covenant with mankind. But sometimes, in Scripture, God says, there's nobody higher that I can make a covenant with, so I'm going to swear by myself. I'm going to swear by my own name that I'm going to do it. And that's where the love of God comes from. The covenantal love of God comes out of who He is. And He cannot not be that to you, because that's just who He is. Does that make sense? I know it's wild. I know you've never experienced anything like that before. But that's why we sang you are holy today. Because that is His otherness. The love of God is His otherness. I just feel like I'm preaching really good today, and you guys are just looking at me like, I don't know. But the love of God was far off, but it's been brought near to us through the person of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the love of God that He gives to us is a covenantal love. He loves us because of who He is. He's made a promise by Himself, to Himself, through Himself, that He will love us. He will always love us. And we got to skip to verse 31, which is a couple more pages, and we're almost done. You've heard that story before, haven't you? Listen to this new covenant promise from the prophet. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant. This is the new covenant that I was making with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Listen, I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Listen to this last part of this verse. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. And the thoughts that I have towards you are not according to the worst moment of your life. I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. And when I think about you, God says, I don't think about your greatest failure. I don't think about your greatest defeat. I don't think about your greatest doubt. No, I have forgiven and forgotten all of your trespasses, says the Lord. And the new covenant that God makes, he says he will put in our minds and write on our hearts. And we're getting ready in just a few moments. I know you don't believe me when I say this, but it's true. In just a few minutes, we're going to come to the table of the Lord. And we're going to hear the words of Jesus as he raises the chalice and he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And where the children of Israel failed to keep their part of the covenant of God, God became flesh. And in himself, in his sacrifice, in his blood, sealed the new covenant for all mankind. This is why we have hope. This is why we have a future. This is why we can experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, because that peace and that hope and that future are sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not according to our goodness, but according to his goodness. Amen and amen and amen. Jeremiah 33:3. One more pillow verse. Before I dismiss you, this is another one that you can find in a picture frame at Hobby Lobby for $59.99, depending on the size. 50% off all the time. So if it's 50% off all the time, it's never 50% off. I know that makes you feel good when you slide your debit card, but if it's all the time, it's not ever 50% off. Sorry. Why'd you have to? Now I'm all upset about that. Peace. Being anxious about Hobby Lobby is not God's will for me. If I had to make points today, point number one would be that God is thinking about you. Good thoughts. Point number two would be that God loves you with covenantal love, with an everlasting love, with a love that will not let you go. That love, as the New Testament would say, covers a multitude of sins, and he no longer counts those things against us. And finally, let's look at Jeremiah 33, verse 3. The prophet says, call to me. God says through the prophet, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. My prayer for every person in this house this morning is that by Halloween, October 31, that the depths of the love of God that we do not know for ourselves, as we call to him, he would show us those great and mighty things which we do not know. I know that you think that if your relationship was different, that you would be more fulfilled. But really, you just need to know how much the Father loves you. I know that you think that if you made more money or had a bigger house or had a nicer car, or your family wasn't so crazy. Come on, if you can't say amen anywhere else. I know you think things would be different if out here would change. But that's the illusion of control. Because you think you can change things around you. I've lived long enough to know that that's not true. But I do know that I can open my heart and surrender to the love of God. And the love of God can change how I perceive everything. The things that I don't know, the love of God teaches me. I know that the love of God can be written on my heart as the new law of God. And that those people that harm me, that hurt me, that annoy me, that get on my nerves, those people that take advantage, those people that try to manipulate, Those people that when I think about them, I don't think good and peace and future. I have thoughts about them, but they're not like God's thoughts. I know that God can create in me a clean heart, as King David said, and renew a right spirit within me as I learn the depths of the love that God has for me. It changes everything about me. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. What are those things? They're the future. They're the future that God has for all those that love Him. Amen. Nathan's going to come help us. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads just for reverence's sake, and so we can focus in these last few moments we have together? We're going to pray it a few times together before we change the order of this service. So in your own time and in your own words, if you don't like my words, it's okay. I think they're good words, but if you don't like them, you can pray something else. But can we talk to Father God this morning? And can we say something like, Father, teach me how much you love me. Would you pray that right now? Father, teach me how much you love me. Some of you can begin to feel His love right now as you pray that, because you're opening your heart to it. You're surrendering to Him in a way that you never have before. Father, teach me how much you love me. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person in the sound of my voice. I pray that they would experience your peace that passes all understanding. I pray that they would experience the hope, the confident expectation of good, the hope that only comes from you. I pray that they would know in the depths of who they are that you have a future for them. And finally, Lord Jesus, I pray that your people in this house would know how much you love them. The Apostle Paul said to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. What does that mean to us? That means that it's only at a work of the Holy Spirit that we can even get a glimpse of how God feels about us. Lord Jesus, I pray for this congregation that they would get a glimpse, even right now, they would get a glimpse of your great love, that we might be ambassadors of that love to a world in desperate need of hope, of peace, and of a future. May we be ambassadors of your goodness. In Jesus' name. There's some of you, we're going to stay here just a minute longer, so just be patient. If this isn't for you, I apologize, but it's for somebody, so let's give them grace. There's some of you that need to lay some things at the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to invite you to do that right where you sit. Sometimes I would invite you down to this altar, but we're not going to do that today. There's some of you that need to lay bitterness at the feet of Jesus right now, because that bitterness is keeping you from knowing the love of God. Jesus, help us. There's some of you that need to lay down unforgiveness, because that unforgiveness is keeping you from knowing the love of God. There's some of you in the house today that need to lay down fear at the feet of Jesus, because fear is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Scripture says that fear brings torment, but perfect love casts out fear. So we lay down that fear at your feet, Jesus, and we accept your love, accept your grace. Some of you need to lay your anxiety down. Some of us, and I say us on purpose, some of us mind trip about the future. We think about all the worst case scenarios, and that is not God's will for us. God has a future for us. So Lord Jesus, we lay down the anxious mind trip that we put ourselves through time after time. And we find rest in your love today. Find rest in your love. Some of you are struggling with sin. And you know it. You know that your actions, your thoughts, your deeds, your words are not pleasing to God, and that is keeping you from experiencing the love of God. Would you turn towards Him in repentance today? Would you lay down your sin at the feet of Jesus, that you can experience God in His fullness and all that He has for you? God has life for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But just take a moment right now and open your mouth. You don't have to say it loud enough for your neighbor to hear, but let's use our vocal cords, and whatever you need to lay at the feet of Jesus, you say, Jesus, I lay this fear down at your feet. Jesus, I lay this person down at your feet. Jesus, I lay this unforgiveness down at your feet. Jesus, I lay this anxiety down at your feet. Jesus, I lay my doubt down at your feet. I lay my worry down at your feet. I lay my sin and shame down at your feet, Jesus. Father, teach me. Father, teach me how much you love me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., as well as throughout the week. We offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.